It's the third anniversary of Slash Wrestling. I'm Eric Loy, and joining me on the phone is the man behind SlashWrestling.com, Chris Zimmerman. And first of all, Chris, congratulations on making it 3 years. I mean, a lot of these sites are come and go. You've managed to make it with basically no advertising all this time. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's real hard considering I have no graphics and you know, no real content and no names. And well, I guess it isn't that much of a surprise, really, then. Oh, it's low overhead. Low now, wait a minute. You're Eric Loy. I thought you were someone else.
Yes, actually, folks might have seen a few contributions under the name Eddie Famous, which
the
is
the handsome one.
The handsome one, handsome Eddie Famous, which I've been posting on the Wienerville site, and had a couple of rather badly received articles on on the Slash Wrestling over the last couple of years.
But if we get nothing out of this, then at least right off the bat, we've broken kayfabe and established that you are in fact Eddie Famous.
That's right. That is true. Well, you know, it's
the pressure's off for the whole rest of the interview.
The pressure is completely off for me. Well, the problem is that there is actually a wrestling journalist, quote unquote, named Eric Loy.
Really?
Who is going to all these smaller sites and reporting under the name Eric Loy, which is why I didn't use my name.
Wow.
So, and there is actually an EricLoy.com, which isn't mine either. So, it's tough being the third most famous Eric Loy, so I decided to be the most famous Eddie Famous.
Well, I've managed to alienate all the other CRZs out there by registering basically every domain I could get my hands on. So I have .net, .com, and .us. And
well, that's the way to do it.
I mean, people are very unhappy about that, but they didn't offer me any amount of money to change my mind. So.
Well, there you go. Now if you can get the ones from, you know, Tuvalu TV and all that stuff, you get all
Well, yeah, I have a basic theory, and that's any country that, you know, is smaller than my apartment, I don't really care if I have their domain or not.
They're sinking into the ocean anyway. Sooner or later, you won't have to worry about them.
Exactly.
Now, you got started with the recapping wrestling, what, about 10 years ago?
Oh, God. The first one I wrote was, it was September 1992, and it was after a year of reading the Rec Sport Pro Wrestling News Group.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a contribution, and there was a show that it wasn't being done, which was WWF Primetime Wrestling on USA.
Oh, love that show.
And so I just started out with that because it was really a great way to start out because it allowed you to comment on not only what was happening on Primetime, but they always rehashed, you know, Wrestling Challenge and Superstars. So you could basically get in your two cents about everything that had happened over the weekend, although, albeit in the guise of something useful, a show report.
Right. They would also do some from house shows where you would see your non-typical matchups, maybe your Johnny Canine match.
Yeah, that was always fun where they would play something from 4 months ago and make it sound like it had taken place just the other day.
Yeah, that was
the old MSG cards.
That was a great. They used to, of course, do the entire MSG cards on USA Network.
Yeah.
And that was a great deal of fun. Pete Daugherty was always on those. It took a while to get used to taking a look at him occasionally on Thursday nights. But from there you went on. How did you get involved in actual, from news groups to a website? Did you go from there to WrestleLine? Or
well, what happened was I was, you know, obsessive enough or bored enough to do it for the better part of 2 years on the news group. I went until 1994. And it was just about 2 years, so I got Raw started in January 1993, of course, and I was the first guy doing Raw on the news group. And, you know, Raw became a must-see show, and, you know, I just basically lucked into the fact that I was talking about something that people were really interested in. And apparently I did well enough that I made an impression on Rick Skaya. So when WrestleManiac started in April 1998, I'd actually been, you know, I hadn't written anything for 4 years, but Rick said, you know, I really need somebody to take on Raw Nitro, and I think you're the guy that should do it. What do you say? And then, you know, I said, well, of course, you played to my ego. What can I do? I have to say yes, and I started. And, you know, just like before, 1998 was just about the time that people really started getting interested in Monday Night Wrestling. And again, I just happened to be lucky in the right place at the right time and perhaps a modicum of talent, and I wrote things that people liked, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And WrestleLine came calling the WrestleManiacs crew in June 99. And I said, well, this is a stupid idea, but I'll go along with it anyway, because it'll give me 10 times the readers, and, you know, the rest is history.
Now, I don't know, you know, a lot of folks have just recently jumped on the bandwagon as far as reading your reports on your site, and now on, I guess you're still on Online Onslaught now, right?
Yeah, when Rick started Online Onslaught, he said, would you like to be a part of it? I said, I would love to be a part of it. Anything that you do, Rick, because you're the guy that brought me to the dance, and I will always stand by you.
Yeah, but folks are just jumping on the bandwagon. What was WrestleLine, and that's where I first saw your raps, right? And what did it mean to Internet reporting?
Oh, it didn't mean anything to Internet reporting. First, let's get that out of the way. It was overhyped and overplayed, and really what happened was in 1999, everybody thought that, you know, all you had to do was have .com somewhere in your life, and we were all going to become billionaires. And Sportsline said, well, we need to start a wrestling site, and who can we take? And they had signed on a couple of the One Wrestling guys, Ryder and Scherer. They had Joey Styles, they had Mark Madden, and they ended up bringing on the WrestleManiacs guys. And then I don't know what happened where, you know, the next thing you know, the guys from WOW Magazine, the guys from One Wrestling, everybody just kind of disappeared except WrestleManiacs and the homegrown talent. And where were we going? What was the question? What did WrestleLine mean?
Yeah, did it really mark a watershed as far as a wrestling website goes?
I think what it did was it gave credibility where none existed, and really it was a phony credibility, but the fact that they were affiliated with Sportsline, mm-hmm. a publicly traded company, and, you know, everybody at the time thought that, well, that's part of CBS because they had the affiliation and CBS was in the name, but this was a really big deal, and, you know, we were all suddenly to be taken very seriously, and, you know, a lot of us were just basically, you know, laughing out of our backside because, you know, we were just a bunch of kids doing this thing, and you know, we weren't any more important than anybody else, but a lot of people thought we were. And I guess that was what was most important, is the perception.
Now, during this time, was that when you started up the Slash Wrestling site?
I started Slash Wrestling almost immediately after they took out WrestleManiacs, because I was worried that the presentation wasn't really going to be what I wanted. They, you know, they always had an issue with language, and they always had an issue with the way certain things were phrased, and I just wanted to have the undiluted product out there, and I wanted to assert, you know, my copyright. And so I started Slash Wrestling, as you know, July 7th, 1999, which is about 2 weeks after we made the jump from WrestleManiacs. And, you know, it was just going to be a repository for my stuff, and then I said, well, you know, let's bring some other things on and try to make it interesting, and somehow, you know, it's 3 years later. I still don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you see, it should start off for your stuff, but when did you start linking other items, other columns first, or?
Well, I tried to be a kind of like, not, there wasn't a Google at the time, but I wanted to be a repository where you could basically get a rundown of everything that had happened. At the time, there were some very good news clipping services, and I wanted to see if it showed up in the major media or in a newspaper website or something like that. I wanted people to know, hey, this is out there, give it a read, look at it, you know, see how the product that you and I enjoy is being portrayed out there. Mm-hmm. And it was just an outcropping of there. I wasn't going to recap every show, so I said, hey, anybody else want to do, you know, you want to do Super Astros, you want to do Thunder? And people would, you know, come in sometimes regularly, sometimes not. Some people would come on, build a following, and then, you know, go to some other site.
Kind of
it was always kind of a revolving door with regards to that.
So that's when you really started taking contributions from folks during that time, whether it was news content or opinion content?
Yeah, right from the get-go. I mean, really what I wanted was show reports, and I wanted opinion pieces that you really weren't going to get anywhere else. And we've succeeded, you know, with varying degrees of success on that. Some things are really god-awful. I just put them up there so you can read them and laugh at them, but don't tell those people.
Look for the ones that say Eddie Famous on them.
Now, those are all fine pieces of quality work.
Yes, both of them were. That's the reason why you've got a link to them, right?
Lovingly crafted with pride.
Yes, lovingly crafted with pride.
Well, that's actually something I'm very proud of. Out of the 46, it's almost 4,700 now, pages of content that we've collected over the years, you can still get to every page with about 3 clicks off the main page. And it's not anything that's innovative or special, but I do like that, you know, the navigation. It is a little convoluted, but you can really get to everything. You always know what the link is. It's not one of these frame sites where you God, I don't know where I am. You can't share the links with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's very open, kind of an open source thing. Part of it is from the fact that I'm very naive when it comes to HTML coding. I've done everything by hand.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know the tricks of the trade. But, you know, on the other hand, if you're running links, if you're running a text-only browser and you just want to get the content, it's very appealing to those people and, you know, information-only crowd. And you know, maybe the readers were a little bit smarter than some of those flash sites, you know? I like to think so anyway.
Well, I tell you, truthfully, I've never clicked on a bad link on that site.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Truly, I'm not. I've clicked on everything I've wanted to see on there. I've been able to get to. So you keep that up, and a lot of it is articles that you're posting on your own site. But the ones where it's linked to somewhere else, I've been able to get to every time. So that's something you can mark down. Something you can put down. Eric Loy says it's okay.
All right. You know, keep it simple, stupid. That's what I try to go by.
That's right. Now, when did the message board start up?
The message board really started up because my brother really wanted me to have a message board. We did the Easy Board, I think it was November 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really wasn't that all into it, but people liked the instantaneous feedback. And so we kind of rolled with it, and the Easy Board became so popular that when we got so sick of the pop-ups, that, again, my brother came through and said, well, I think we should write our own. I've got some code. We went ahead and did that, started it in January of this year, actually. And in 6 months, we've gotten, I think, 2.2 million hits on the message board, where I think the message board has now passed up the front page of my website. So it's a whole nother level.
It is another level, but it also creates, a valuable companion in that you get the feedback from the various articles directly onto the site. For the most part.
Well, I'd really like that. We don't get as much as I would like. And really what the main purpose of the message board is to expose my true personality as a real jerk who hates about 80% of the people out there.
I wasn't going to say that. But it's got to be tough. I mean, as you said, you didn't really, I imagine, sign on to do it in the first place. And there have been times where with every message board, you have your idiots show up.
That's a lot of fun.
Have you thought of just dumping the whole thing? Dumping the message board entirely?
It occurs to me every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, true. What it's really done is cut back on my letters, my email, which I don't mind as much, but some people really like reading those things before. But really, now it's kind of, again, it's taken on a life of its own, and really all I can do is just sit back and look at it and, you know, shake my head and, you know, roll my eyes.
No, it's sometimes it gets pretty amazing in there, but you've managed to keep the topics apart well enough where some people stay in a certain area, some people stay in a different area, and sometimes people stay in only one area.
Well, again, we get like a staggering volume of visitors, and it's so hard to argue with success. It would be really hard to shut it down because I don't know where else I would go. And, you know, of course, it's important to look at those WWF people coming in and reading any thread that has Russo in the name and just wondering what's going on when they would waste their time to come to a message board like that.
That's right, because they get their stuff directly from the message boards. And we know that for sure. Let's get back to Slash Wrestling and the fact that you've been able to put this together with only one ad that I can remember.
Well, that wasn't even really an ad. It was just someone... it wasn't that, but it was fun to put up, to make people unhappy, but also because of the really swank pictures I got out of it.
Oh, they were great pictures, and I imagine you caught just all sorts of hell, basically, over it.
Well, you know, how many movies have grossed $100 million without my advertising? That's what, you know, I'm one for one, so you can't argue with success.
There you go. But it's amazing how folks treat this site, and this site and the message board. And any sort of variance throws people into conniptions. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about that, really.
I think that with this medium, it's really like that for any moderately successful site. It's just that sometimes it doesn't manifest itself in a way that other people can see. I mean, I have a message board, and I can get that instant feedback, and everyone can see it. But I think any site has its devotees, and they all act this way. It's just that sometimes you don't see it out in public as much as you would.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, the internet is still an evolving thing. Even though I've been on it, 10 years, the web's been around for 8 years, I think, and you know, I've been doing my bit for 3 years. But the thing is, people really still aren't sure what this medium is about and how it's going to happen. So, you know, being a pioneer in that sense, it really helps you. I don't know what the hell I'm saying now. we're still sorting it out, and you know, that's one of the things, that this medium is a lot more accessible than, say, newspapers or magazines. I mean, you can write to authors in those media, but sometimes, you know, there's a perceived distance or standoffishness about the people doing that, where you can't accept, those people aren't accessible. I'm much more accessible. I'm practically on AIM 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm not sleeping, I'm looking at messages. I get email. I answer email. People talk to me. And I think that one-to-one connection is part of what makes the net so great, and it's part of what, you know, feeds my ego and keeps me doing this thing, most importantly.
Is it harder now to put together the Slash Wrestling now that there's basically one major organization rather than two?
In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. I mean, in one way, there's a lot less to talk about, so that means that a lot less content comes in, a lot less rehashing. But in another sense, you do wish that there was something out there that would capture the imagination and get people really excited about the product. You know, lately, the WWE's been, they've been coasting, they've been sloppy, they've been, you know, writing even bigger holes in the plot lines than they normally do. And
they've been using Tommy Dreamer?
Well, who wouldn't want to use Tommy Dreamer? That young man is a shining example, a beacon for all of us to follow.
That's right, and in perfect physical shape. He's one of those guys that that can certainly do a lot of the high-flying moves that people want to see now.
The high-flying projectile vomiting.
That's right. Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons that something like NWA TNA, which, you know, 3 years ago, nobody would have taken seriously, everyone would have laughed off, is something that's scrutinized so closely now. Everyone wants that alternative to the WWE programming, and they will latch on to anything that they think will get there. And, you know, that's probably why I was so interested in WOW back when, just because it was so different and so interesting. But again, it was the same thing. They had a plan that was destined to fail and never was going to make money, so all you could do was enjoy it while it was there. And I don't give NWA, TNA, I don't think it's going to be 2 months before they're gone.
Do you think that if they had a cable show, could they do it?
I think, I think they would be taken a lot more seriously if they had some way for people to sample the product for free and to get them interested in the pay-per-view.
Because it's not like they don't have talent there.
Well, the problem is that the talent they have isn't that great. I mean, they've got Jeff Jarrett, who's very good. They've got, you know, a lot of WCW retreads who can be good, but, you know, they have the perceived stench of failure on them.
Right.
They have the X guys who, unfortunately, are spot, 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 no psychology. And, you know, some people really like that, and bully for them, but it doesn't do a lot for me. I mean, it's very easy to recap because you just type in move, period, move, period, move, period, but there's nothing behind it, you know. They aren't working on any body parts, or they aren't trying to wear the guy down, or they aren't focusing or targeting, or, you know.
They're not Andersons.
Well, that's one way to put it, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I recently got a chance to watch Lucha for the first time a couple weeks ago, and while I could not understand anything, it was okay because all I expected was spot, 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 and that's basically what I got.
Well, in the sense, if you have to go into it with a different mindset, but if you can suspend your disbelief on a different level than watching the American product, there really is a lot of internal continuity, consistency, and it does make sense when you watch it. And it really is very enjoyable, and I love Lucha, but my problem is I can't get Galavision. If I could, I'd be doing a Lucha report every week.
Yeah, and I'm lucky enough that the parents have the dish when I visit.
So. Well, that's what my parents have it on their cable system, but they already look at me kind of funny about the wrestling thing, so I don't want to, you know, I'm watching the Mexican wrestling. Can you give me a couple out? Well, yeah, okay.
Well, just point to them and say, look, several million people visit my site.
And then they look and they say, well, you know what, that's put $0 in your bank account, so we're not as thrilled with it as you think we are.
Let's get something else that's not a particularly pleasant topic. You can hang up, of course, if you want. But,
never.
But why do people who have internet wrestling sites have to basically...
Come on, can't be that unpleasant. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a situation like the Scott Keith thing.
What Scott Keith thing?
Yeah, what Scott Keith thing? You know what I'm talking about. Why is this necessary, even a one-sided thing, when you're all trying to do the same thing, basically?
I think people, people feel that they need to stand out, and one of the ways to stand out is to differentiate yourself from someone else by making a comparison of this nature. And this is, unfortunately, you know, one of the things that, you know, tablet television is still very popular, daytime talk shows, it's the same thing on the net, and people will go after, you know, they shoot for the top, and so they will go after someone that they perceive as very widely known, and hope that, you know, they'll hope that it becomes a two-way thing, and everybody benefits because everyone gets a lot more interested. But I'm not sure that, in my case, I'm not sure those are the kind of hits that I want. I mean, I can understand people doing it because they need to get a certain amount of eyeballs, because they need a certain amount of ads viewed so they can make a certain amount of pennies and they can pay the bandwidth bill. Now, I'm in a very fortunate position where I work for an internet service provider.
Mm-hmm.
So I have very, very low overhead. My server is at the data center, and I don't have to pay any bandwidth fees. And, you know, the server was very inexpensive to make, and the software running it is, you know, you download it, and it's free web server, you know, software. So there isn't a lot going out. That's why I don't need a lot coming in, and that's why I'm ad-free. And a lot of people aren't in that position, unfortunately. It really has to be a labor of love, I think, to really make it an exciting site, and that's why sites like A1Wrestling.com and, boy, I used to say our so-called sport, but they seem to have disappeared.
Right.
There's another ad-free site that I'm going to kick myself for not remembering right now, but...
It's not One Bob.
It's not One Bob, no. Uh-huh. I think One Wrestling is the very example of what happens when money corrupts what should be something that you enjoy doing, and it ends up becoming a business. And it's sad in a way, but...
It's very
on another level, that they have reached a measure of success that I can only dream of. So,
yeah. Well, they might actually be making some money off of it.
You would hope. The Bob and Dave claim that they have no other job than the site, so, you know, good for them.
Yeah.
I'd love to sleep in and do nothing but work on my site too, but I limit myself to basically trying to do that during work and having work pay for it in that way. Please don't tell XO.
And I'm not doing this during my job either.
No, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. Not while the Sean Hannity show is going on. If you had a chance to put one feature in the site, and you haven't been able to do it yet, what is it?
Ask Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman.
That is a money idea. It is a money that would just bring eyes to the site that I would never have seen before, and that would be the most popular. I mean, you think the Honky Tonk Man's exciting. You think Tom Zenk is exciting. Steve Blackman online. Ask Steve Blackman.
The man would be behind the scenes with a purpose, with vengeance.
He would not pull any punches. He would be the straight shooter, and, you know, straight in more ways than one, because he probably wouldn't crack a joke, but it'd be very exciting.
Not Ludwig Borga.
Well, Ludwig Borga, I always admired him because he told it like it was, and, you know, you hated him, but the problem was he told the truth. And those kind of characters are really kind of the best characters to have. And that Lance Storm is kind of moving in that direction. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, we'll see where that ends up. We're taping this on a Tuesday night with the SmackDown eventually coming up in 2 days.
I think Lance's problem is he's actually on the net, so we have something to actually look at, and it kind of, you know, that kind of lowers your expectations and bursts your bubble about what, you know, the potential. That's why I can say Steve Blackman, because no online commentaries as far as I know, so the imagination is wide open.
Yeah,
there.
I'm not sure whether he'd be able to get those big fingers on the keys anyway. As internet quote-unquote journalism reporting gone to the point where it takes away from the enjoyment of wrestling?
I am not a journalist, I want to say, first of all. But to answer your question, there are some people who watch shows only because they are wondering what Scott Keith is going to say about it, or, God forbid, what CRZ is going to say about it. And people who watch wrestling for that aren't really the kind of people that I want to play to or am interested in reaching. I mean, I'm flattered, but I'm hoping that you're a fan of wrestling just like I am, and that's why you're there to read, because you want to know, you know, maybe you miss the show and you want to know what happens, or maybe you can read it and relive what you saw, or if you missed it, you can read it and get a sense of what happened. But, you know, I don't think it's pervasive as I made it out to be. I don't think there are a lot of people that watch wrestling like that, but I think there is a small percentage, and those guys need to find a better hobby.
When are you going to find a better hobby?
Oh, God.
Seriously, have there been points with the product the way it is, the WWE, and with things that have happened, come up on the message board, how close have you gotten to just tossing it?
Not really. When I left WrestleLine, I thought maybe that was going to be it, and that was one of the reasons I got the /wrestling.com domain and took my name. It used to be crz.net/wrestling, and I took my name out of the domain name because I thought for a while I was going to walk away and let other people handle it. But you know, it turned out I came back that after that weekend and picked up right where I'd left off and didn't miss a beat, so that didn't happen. The one time that it got really bad was when Austin left. I felt really angry, and I really couldn't understand how things had gotten so bad that this guy that I really enjoyed left. And if I had been writing when Bret Hart left, it might have been that same feeling. But, you know.
Well, I certainly picked up on that.
I think a lot of people did.
It was easy to pick up on, but then you're talking about somebody who enjoys a product, and to have somebody who was at one point basically the center of wrestling just up and leave, and then have his personal life all but fall apart in front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah, it's really weird, and the problem is that we're not going to be able to hear anything about it because he's persona non grata. He's suspended. He's China 2002. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that when people write to me, and you're always complaining. I'm not always complaining. The problem is when I really enjoy it, when I enjoy what I'm seeing, you don't see me complaining. So you know, I'm not as good about being positive as I am about being negative when it comes to making an impact. So a lot of times if I like something, it'll just be a straight report and you won't really know. But when I don't like something, I'm very vocal about it. And fortunately, you know, it's, what, 2-3 weeks later, I'm not in the position where I wish I was Deborah, because then that meant Austin would be beating me instead. But, you know,
well,
I don't know what that means.
I think
that
I can
crazy.
Act a little better than Deborah. But you... Has this gotten to the point where you enjoy wrestling less because of this?
No, well...
You personally?
This year, there are probably some shows I would have skipped. And, you know, for a while there, I had seen every Raw that had ever been on television. I think I missed two over the past however many years it was. But now there are probably some that I would have skipped. But it has... Historically, it has consistently come back and been as good or better than before. You know, we haven't reached that low point where it's just like, okay, that's it, I'm giving up. And the only time I ever did that was when I was doing Thunder, but in my defense, I was writing up 5 shows a week, and
right.
One of them had to go, and so Thunder was the odd man out.
Yeah, I think Thunder was the odd man out for the WCW.
Quite possibly.
But even then, as WCW left, it was sad to see that some of the younger talent was getting a chance to do some things. And as soon as the merger happened, they're gone.
Well, at the same time, some of those people should never have been on television in the first place.
A few of them.
And I think that there's been a weeding out process, and you see some of those guys coming back. Even this week we saw 2 or 3 debuts, and I think it all sorts out in the end, probably.
Should they clean house and start over?
Boy, it'd be a lot easier. I think that's the problem when you have that entrenched talent. You know, there are a lot of people that don't like Triple H, and there are a lot of people that don't like Undertaker, and God forbid, if I hear glass ceiling one more time, I have to shoot some people. But
don't say glass ceiling.
That's
okay.
Part of... Well, it would look spectacular.
Yes.
I think that's part of the hue and cry for a new promotion, is that people think that if there's a fresh start, that something would come out and it would make wrestling exciting again and great again. And that's why a lot of people, they are interested in this XWF, or they're hoping that Terry Turner will want to put some wrestling back on cable, just so that they have that choice. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. I mean, the problem is that the WWE was so good for so long at doing these things. If they have problems, how on earth can anyone else do anything?
Well, they've got everybody.
Right.
And if they can't put it together with all the ingredients, then I don't know how someone else is going to be able to put it together, unless they really start with nobody anybody knows and go from old NWA territory type of thing.
It goes back to where you're not watching wrestling on television. What you're doing is you're going to an armory or you're going to a high school gym and you're watching it there. And that's very appealing on some level, but there are far less people that are interested in doing it. But maybe it'll take something like that, some sort of groundswell from the ground, from the roots, to you know, bring it to the next level, or the evolution of the sport, as it were.
So what else have you got planned for your third anniversary? Have you got a lot of submissions? Or,
you know, a lot of people have said they're going to make submissions, but at the time we're taping this, I really don't have too much. So I'm counting on this interview to bring the hits, baby.
All right. Well, you know, when you bring in the famous one, you know you're going to get the hits.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Chris, I really appreciate it. It's fun to talk to you finally after exchanging emails and such, and to know that there is, in fact, a person behind the screen.
It's just like AM, but I talk a lot faster.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes you don't have the that little notepad that says away beside it. I really appreciate it, and congratulations again on 3 years with Slash Wrestling, and really 10 years of people reading your work on this sport.
God, I feel ancient.
And wait till you get to 36, then everything falls apart.
Well, let's do it again in 5 years.
We'll do it. Again, congratulations, and again, 3 years for Slash Wrestling.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.